The brilliant scientist Sir Isaac Newton once said that he could take his telescope out and look millions and millions of miles into space. But then he added, "When I lay aside my telescope and go into my room and shut the door and get down on my knees in earnest prayer, I see more of heaven and feel closer to the Lord than if I were assisted by all the telescopes on earth." Prayer is an amazingly awesome thing. The idea that we can communicate directly with God, that all we have to do is think or say a prayer, and God, the creator of the universe, hears us. This idea, this concept is beyond amazing. When we trust in Jesus Christ, we receive many things. Forgiveness of our sins, redemption from slavery to sin, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, eternal life in heaven with God. Many of the things, the gifts we receive from God, require nothing more from us. We trust in Christ and we receive the gift. But some of the gifts we receive require action on our part. Prayer, the ability to come before God, is a gift given to us when we trust in Jesus Christ. We can access this gift any place, any time. But we have to make the effort to access this gift. We have to take the time to pray. We need to be sure we do not waste this gift of prayer. We need to take the time to pray. We need to make sure we pray for one another. Today, we're going to look at the Apostle Paul discussing his prayers for the folks at Ephesus. And maybe we can see some things about prayer that will help us to not waste this amazing gift God has given us. Turn with me, if you will, in your Bibles to the book of Ephesians, chapter 1. I'll be beginning in verse 15. These verses are also found in your bulletins. Paul had told the Ephesians they'd been blessed with every spiritual blessing. He told them they were predestined to adoption. He told them they'd been sealed in Christ with the Holy Spirit, who was given as a pledge. And now he's going to begin to discuss how he prays for them. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15. "For this reason, I too, having heard of the faith in the Lord Jesus, which exists among you, and your love for all the saints, do not cease giving thanks for you while making mention of you in my prayers." See, if we're not going to waste the gift of prayer that God has given us, we need to know why we are praying. Paul says he does not cease giving thanks. He mentions these folks in his prayer, and he says the reason. He says, "For this reason." And he's pointing back to all that stuff he just said. He's saying that he thanks God and prays for them without ceasing because they have been blessed with every spiritual blessing. He prays for them and mentions them in his prayers because they have been predestined to adoption as sons and daughters of God. They have redemption through Christ's blood. They have the forgiveness of their sins. They had obtained an inheritance. The Holy Spirit had been given to them as a down payment. Wow! Think about that for a second. Those are some fantastic reasons to thank God. Those are some outstanding reasons to pray for people. But Paul's not done yet with his reasons. He adds, "Having heard of the faith in the Lord Jesus, which exists among you." Now, Paul could be talking about the saving faith these people had when they trusted in Jesus for their salvation. And we should certainly give thanks to God for that. But Paul could also be talking about the daily faith we have in Christ. When we abide in Christ, when we serve God, when we love one another, when we follow God's will, I think it's more likely he's talking about this daily faith. And the reason I think that is because what Paul prays for them next, he says, "And your love for all the saints." In the text, there's a connection between the faith Paul heard about and their love for all the saints. These two things are related. And you see, when we have that abiding faith, when we have that daily faith as we serve God, we will have love for all the saints. We will care for, serve, and help one another. Seeing fellow believers walk in faith is a wonderful reason to give thanks for them. It's a wonderful reason to pray for them. But it's crucial that we understand that this kind of prayer, praying thanks, mentioning one another, thanking God for everybody's faith and love for one another, this is not a one and done kind of prayer. This kind of prayer is a lifelong, ongoing kind of prayer. See, if we're going to not waste the gift God gave us of prayer, we need to know how we are called to pray. Paul describes how he prays when he says he does not cease giving thanks for you while mentioning of you in my prayers. Now, this does not mean Paul prays constantly, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. To pray without ceasing means to pray consistently, to have a regular time of prayer, to take the time consistently to pray for folks. Because these people had received the Holy Spirit, they'd received every blessing, because of their faith and love for believers, Paul consistently gives thanks for them and mentions them in his prayers. I don't know about you, but most of the time when I mention somebody in prayers, it's because they got a problem. I mention them because I'm asking God to help them. Now, there is nothing wrong with praying for people who need help. But what I want us to notice here is that Paul is praying for people, giving thanks for them, mentioning them in his prayers consistently, and it's not because they have a problem. It's not because they're suffering. He's not praying for them because something has gone wrong. Paul is praying to God about these people because things have gone right. They have faith. They've received every blessing. They have love for one another. Paul is praying for them consistently because of that. Because something has gone right. If we could understand this, it would change how we pray. We need to look around and see all the spiritual blessings our fellow believers have received. We need to look at one another and see the faith we have in Christ. Faith for salvation and daily faith for walking in God's Word. We need to take the time to notice those who have love for all the saints. And we need to consistently pray for these folks. Now, we still need to pray for the folks in need. We need to pray for healing, for safety, for finances, all the stuff we regularly pray for folks we see around us having trouble. But we need to make sure we don't just pray about the problem. God is an awesome God. He has done so much for us. We need to make sure we get some prayers in there focused on all the amazing things He does for us. Some prayers focused on lifting up and encouraging one another. Some prayers for our brothers and sisters in Christ who are walking in faith, who are loving all the saints, who are serving God. And we need to make sure we are praying consistently, taking time each day to bring our prayers to God. Prayers for those in need and prayers for those walking in faith, building up layer upon layer of prayer. I grew up in Houston, so I did not have much experience with snow. The very first time I caught a snowflake, I was stunned at how little it felt. I could hardly even tell it was in my hand. But snow, when it snows consistently over an extended period of time, for days on end, the weight of that snow can become enormous. Consistent snowfall can snap the largest tree branches. It can cause roofs to collapse. It can result in avalanches burying entire towns. Each individual snowflake weighs almost nothing. But consistently falling snow has tons of crushing weight. Sometimes we may feel our individual prayers have no weight. Like a single snowflake, they may feel like they don't have any effect. But prayer is designed to be consistent. Prayer, like snow, has a cumulative effect. as we pray consistently, the effects our prayers have on us grow and grow. I don't know if you've experienced this, but you start praying for somebody consistently, and it'll change how you think about them. Love for them will grow in you. I don't know about you, but when I pray consistently about a situation, a circumstance, if I pray consistently about it, my attitude about that situation, about that circumstance, changes. I see it differently. I see God at work in it. What we need are great wind drifts of prayer, an avalanche of prayer. This is the kind of prayer Paul prayed for the Ephesians. This is the kind of prayer we need to pray for each other. This kind of prayer helps us to come to know God in a deeper, more personal way. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17. That the God of our Father, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of Him. See, if we're going to not waste our prayers, this gift, we need to know who to pray to. Knowing who you pray to is important. Now, some folks think we should pray to Mary or certain saints. Other folks want to pray to the apostles. There are folks out there who pray to the dead or to trees or the moon or the stars. Others think we should only pray to God the Father. We should not pray to Christ or the Holy Spirit. In this particular case, Paul prays to God the Father. He says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you. The bottom line is that we pray to God and only God. And since God is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we can pray to all three. We might have specific prayers we address to the Son or to the Holy Spirit, but in general, for most prayers, we pray in the Spirit, through the Son, to the Father. The most important point about who we pray to is that we never pray to anyone or anything that is not God. If we have trusted Christ, we have direct access to God. We do not need anyone or anything between us and God. We can go straight to Him in prayer. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 18 kind of mentions this concept. He says, "For through Him," and that Him is Christ, "we both have our access in one Spirit," that's the Holy Spirit, "to the Father," that's God the Father. Right there, we got it, in the Spirit, through Christ, to the Father. And we have access. We only pray to God because only God can actually answer our prayers. We see Paul pray to God the Father. He asks the Father to give these folks two things. Both of these things can only be given by God. We need to know that only God can give us a spirit of wisdom. The first thing Paul asks the Father to give these folks is a spirit of wisdom. This is a really interesting request. This is all about a change in attitude or disposition. When somebody has a spirit of something, they have an attitude of it. They operate based on it. Think about the concept of a spirit of patriotism. That's how you function. So having a spirit of wisdom would mean acting on or living in wisdom. But what exactly does Paul mean by wisdom? Well, he's not talking about worldly wisdom, about wise sayings by human philosophers. He's not talking about deep thoughts. Biblical wisdom is the capacity to understand God's will and follow it. Wisdom is putting God's will into action. So Paul is praying for his readers to have a spirit or a disposition of knowing God's will and living in it. That's amazing. That is certainly something we should pray for one another. I would dearly love it if all of you would pray for me to have a spirit of wisdom. That's something every one of us can use. We should certainly pray for one another that we would have an attitude of living out God's will. Notice that Paul prays that God would give them this spirit of wisdom. He does not pray that they would earn a spirit of wisdom. He doesn't pray that they would develop a spirit of wisdom. He prays that God would give them this spirit of wisdom. And that's because that's what it takes. God has to give us that attitude. We can't earn it. We can't develop it on our own. We can yield to the Holy Spirit and receive a spirit of wisdom. But God's got to give it so that we can receive it. We need to know that true knowledge of God must be revealed by God. The second thing Paul asked God to give these folks is the spirit of revelation and the knowledge of Him. And again, this is an attitude or a disposition. In this case, it's an attitude of revelation. That's for something to be made known, for somebody to disclose something that has been concealed. In this case, Paul is praying that God the Father will make known or reveal knowledge of Himself. And the word Paul uses for knowledge means knowing something from experience. Paul is not talking about information. He's not talking about something we could learn by reading a book. There is a vast difference between information and experience. One day a little 5-year-old boy comes running up to his mom, tears bawling out of his eyes because his little sister pulled his hair. The mama says, "Don't be angry, your baby sister doesn't know that pulling hair hurts." A short while later, there's some more crying. Mom runs to investigate. This time the baby sister is sitting on the floor bawling her eyes out, and the brother smiles and says, "It's okay, Mom. Now she knows that pulling your hair hurts." There is a difference between information and experience. Paul is asking God the Father to give them a spirit, an attitude, a disposition of learning about God by experiencing God. And again, this is something God has to give us. We can't earn it. We can't develop it. And in the text, there is a link between these two things. When we have a spirit of godly wisdom, when we know God's will and live out God's will, we will grow in knowledge of God. As we grow in experiential knowledge of God, we will be better able to live out His will, to have that spirit of wisdom. A spirit of wisdom and a spirit of revelation of God work together. They're linked. Both of these things must be given by God. Both are connected. I want you to understand just how much all the problems folks face would be resolved if they had a spirit of wisdom and a spirit of revelation. How many problems we face that we pray for folks over would be resolved if they knew God's will and lived it out. If they had experience of God and knew Him by revelation. As we pray for one another, we need to include these things, that God would give us a spirit of wisdom and a spirit of revelation and the knowledge of Him. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18. "I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, so that you will know what is the hope of His calling, what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the surpassing greatness of His power toward us who believe." We need to pray for our spiritual eyes to be opened. Paul had said that he asked God to give them a spirit of revelation, and now he's going to go into detail about what that looks like for that spirit of revelation to happen. He says, "I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened." This is a description of what takes place when God gives somebody a spirit of revelation. That phrase, "the eyes of your heart," is talking about our spiritual sight, our ability to see the spiritual truths around us. And Paul says he prays for God to add light, to reveal the spiritual things that are going on around us every day. This idea of adding light to something is not that big a deal to us. We got electric lights every place. We got them in the house, in the cars, we got them on the streets, we got them in our cell phones. But the folks that Paul is writing to, light was much harder for them to come by. Once the sun went down, all you had for light was a fire, dim, smoky little oil-burning lamp, maybe a cooking fire. To enlighten something means to bring a clear, bright light that reveals things that are hidden. And Paul prays for God to enlighten the eyes of their hearts so that they will know three things about God. One thing from their past, one from their future, and one from their present. The first thing he's going to want them to know is the certainty of their salvation. This is from their past. This is an event that occurred in their past. He says, I want you to know what is the hope of His calling. The hope of God's calling. Hope in the Bible is not a maybe. When we see the word hope in our Bibles, it's not like I hope it rains tomorrow. Hope in the Bible is talking about something that is absolutely certain based on God. The hope of God's calling is the certainty of our salvation. And Paul asks for God to enlighten the eyes of their hearts so that they can see the spiritual reality that they are truly and certainly saved. That when God the Father called them to faith in Christ, the result of that calling was absolutely certain. We see Jesus mentioned this in the book of John chapter 6 verse 44. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. That's the calling. And I will raise him up on the last day. Notice it didn't say I might raise him up. I'll probably raise him up. It said I will most certainly raise him up. We need to experience the certainty of our destiny. Paul wants them to know something about their future. He says, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints? He's talking about our eternal destiny. Now, he doesn't give us a lot of details about this destiny. He just tells us it's rich and glorious. He had told them they had a down payment for this inheritance, the sealing with the Holy Spirit. Now he prays that God will enlighten their hearts to see just how rich and glorious this inheritance will be. When we can see just how rich our inheritance will be, it changes how we live now. When we know what's coming, the problems, the troubles, the difficulties we face today are nothing but a mist that vanishes with the sun. Finally, Paul prays for them to know something about their present, about God working in their lives on a day-to-day basis. We need to experience God's power now. Paul uses some really intense words when he describes God's power. He says, what is the surpassing greatness of His power towards us who believe? And the words that are translated surpassing greatness are really a lot more intense than that. Extraordinary, superabundant, extreme magnificence. That's how we ought to read that. These words are stacked up. Paul is praying that God will enlighten these folks so that they will be able to see the spiritual reality of the superabundant magnificence of God's power in their lives. Considering just how huge God's power is in our lives, you might think we would not need to have the eyes of our hearts enlightened to see it. But the truth is, many of us fail to see God's power in our lives every day. God's superabundant power keeps us alive. God's magnificent power provides for us, helps us every single hour of every single day. But if we're focused on the things of the world, we can miss it. It can just blow right by. If we're not paying attention to the spiritual things, we can get to thinking God's power is absent from our lives. Seeing God's extraordinarily magnificent, superabundant power working in our lives helps us to trust God. It gives us a better understanding of our need for God. It reassures us that God is here with us in our trials, in our problems. But God has to enlighten the eyes of our hearts before we can see His power working in our lives. Before we can see the glory of the riches of our inheritance. Before we can see the hope of God's calling. And that is why Paul prays for God to enlighten the eyes of their hearts. We now have much bigger telescopes than Sir Isaac Newton ever had. We even have telescopes in space. We've got radio telescopes. We can see more of space than Isaac Newton ever dreamed existed. But his observation is still true. When we lay aside our telescopes and go into our rooms and shut the door and get down on our knees in earnest prayer, we can see more of heaven and feel closer to the Lord than if we were assisted by all the telescopes on earth. Prayer is an amazingly awesome thing. This idea that we can communicate directly with God, all we have to do is think or say a prayer, and God, the creator, sustainer of the universe, hears us. This idea is beyond amazing, but we need to be sure to not waste the gift of prayer. We need to take the time to pray. We need to be sure we pray for one another. Yes, we need to pray for the problems we face, for healing, safety, provision. But we need to not only pray for the problems. Paul shows us how to pray for one another based on our spiritual blessings. To pray when we see each other walking in faith. To pray for all those who have love for the saints. To pray for them consistently. We need to pray for our brothers and sisters in Christ, for God to give them a spirit of wisdom, an attitude of living out God's will, for God to give them a spirit of revelation in the knowledge of God, God-given experience of living and walking with God. We need to pray for one another to have the eyes of our hearts enlightened, for God to shine a light on the spiritual things of this world, the certainty of our salvation, the glorious riches of our inheritance, the superabundance of His magnificent power in our lives. We need to pray these things for each other because without God giving us these things, we cannot have them. I sometimes think we misunderstand the point of praying. We are not praying to tell God something that He doesn't know. We are praying to remind ourselves of our dependence on God. We pray to God to help us understand just how much we need Him, how lost we are without Him. We pray to God to help us remember that when we were lost and without hope, God came in the form of a man, Jesus Christ. He lived a sinless life and died on the cross to pay for our sins. He rose again after 3 days. He ascended to heaven and He is coming back. To enter into an eternal relationship with God, to receive all these spiritual blessings, to gain the gift of prayer, all we need to do is place our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, that His death on the cross paid for our sins. If there is anyone here today who has not trusted in Jesus Christ, in a moment I'm going to pray a prayer. And right after that prayer, we're going to sing a song. And during that song, I would invite you to come forward and place your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. If you'd like to place your faith and trust in Christ and you don't feel like coming forward, get with me afterwards and we can handle that privately. Anybody that needs prayer, I'd love for you to come down so I can pray for you. And finally, if anybody desires membership in the church, this is the appropriate time to come forward to discuss membership. Father God, You are awesome and mighty, wonderful, holy, worthy, righteous, sovereign, creator of the universe, and we thank You for all that You have bestowed upon us. We thank You for the gift of prayer. Help us to not waste that gift, to pray for one another, to pray thanks, to pray for the spirit of wisdom, to pray for a spirit of revelation. And Father, we pray all these things in Christ's name. Amen.